It's Wednesday, November 12th, 2014, and you're listening to episode 357 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 50 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Wayne.
My name's Chad.
My name is Pat.
And this is Chris.
All right. It's great to have...
Chris, you sound so excited and enthused. You're like, and this is Chris.
Did that come across weak? Should I try it again?
Try it again. Right, do it again. It's Tuesday. It's not Hot Dish Thursday.
Thursday, yes. We determined that much like Febtober, the Iowans or wherever the hell
Minnesota,
godforsaken
Iowanian
South Canada.
South Canada.
It's not Febtober. It's Febtoba.
Febtoba. Febtoba is a proud tradition. Good grief.
Oops,
Pat, way to go.
Yeah, I'm going to start a quarter jar for cell phones, except for me reading the show notes. So, okay, let's dig into it. We got two announcements.
We have three announcements. Hot Dish Thursday. Hashtag Hot Dish Thursday.
Yeah, for anyone who lives in that area and has Thursday as a day on your calendar, we wish you the best in hot dishes.
I can only imagine what kind of horrible things you'd get from Google on that.
Chris, would you be willing to put a hot dish recipe like somewhere and then link it off of our Twitter feed?
And do hashtag hot dish Thursday?
Yeah.
Hot dish Thursday? I could do that. I'd have to do some digging. I could find the hot dish that my mom used to make on a consistent basis when I grew up.
Dish.
I bet she
is. She wasn't too bad. Actually,
yeah, he's a handsome man. I could see that. I mean, of course, she's 3,000 years old.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have, there are a total of 7 in our family, including myself.
Wow. Yeah, she's a hot dish.
Okay, so apparently your dad liked her.
Oh, well.
It's
often.
Either that or it was so long ago he didn't have a lot of choices.
That's true.
I mean, it's Eve or Eve.
You pop out a kid once every 1,000 years. I mean, it really is not.
And Chris is the youngest.
Good That's right. God. I am the youngest.
He is.
It's not possible.
You didn't think the earth was that old.
For those of you who think that I'm old.
Wow. Okay. So two announcements. First off, this one actually is also related to Twitter. Chris.
But for realsies.
This one's for real. This is, although I think Hot Dish Thursday, I think actually now needs to become real. I'm going to do a little plug, little shout out to it is a hashtag sort of event. It's a Twitter conversation. The hashtag is RPG Chat. And this occurs every Thursday, two times. One is at 2:00 Central Time, and the other one is at 9:00 PM Central Time. It's an hour long Q&A kind of conversation. Now, the advice dispense, of course, isn't official advice like it would be, you know, coming from us. But actually, one, there's a couple of nice things there. You can kind of get some really good ideas in relation to specific topics relating to your games. And two, you get to meet a lot of other...
Single people in your area?
Oh, I don't know if they're in my area, but... You do know that they have common interest in the fact that obviously everybody who's on there is into games, and if you're looking to either pick up new Twitter followers or you're looking to try and get people to follow you, you're going to find people here of like mind.
Hold up here, Chris.
Is he still talking?
No. It's not about
why
that.
Why isn't that it's the oldest among us that's the one that's tweeting like a teenager?
No, okay, hold up.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, my thing here is, Chris, you've got this hashtag of pound RPG chat or hashtag RPG chat where you can go and talk to other people about RPGs, and your media analysis, this is where you can pick up new Twitter followers. You realize this is not a marketing effort.
He's a marketing guy.
He's a marketing guy.
Yeah, he lives it, eats it, and sleeps it. That's why he's good at Twitter and we suck at it.
From my perspective, that's all Twitter is to me, is a marketing effort. I don't tweet. I only do it for marketing.
You know what? I'll make one comment on that. Of course, I'm just busting your balls for the reason challenge because you're a marketing guy.
Yeah.
So, of course, you immediately look at this and see a marketing situation the same way like Pat looks. Never mind. But
I'm getting nothing out of this other than the fact that, you know,
except all that great podcast money.
Well, yeah, I make mad podcast and mad Twitter money for sure. So a lot of cheese. But no, it's actually pretty cool just because, first of all, you have to be succinct, you know, and then on top of that, there's a lot of really good advice, and the topics are it's a lot of stuff that we've done before, but you can get a couple of interesting perspectives on things, and it's kind of a cool little event. So, and yeah, every Thursday at those two times, and it's kind of moderated, and everybody behaves themselves, so which is nice.
So a comment and a question.
Okay.
The comment is you have to be succinct, but you don't have to be able to spell it because it's Twitter and nobody spells anything right on Twitter.
Absolutely correct.
Two, how did you hear about this?
Actually, I kind of stumbled across it once I got back into Twitter, and occasionally you would see, you know, because like I follow a number of people, obviously, who are into gaming and whatnot, and every once in a while I would see that hashtag pop up. And so in TweetDeck, you can do a search, obviously, and you could do this in Twitter too, for that matter, I guess, but I did a search for that hashtag and I realized, oh, this is like a regularly occurring kind of event. And so once you set up a permanent search for it, then you can just constantly get updates on that feed as it comes down. So, and there's certain programs too, where you can almost follow it like you're in a chat room as well. So
did I ever tell you guys that I started a hashtag once?
It's not hard. What? Hashtag Hot Dish Thursday. It's coming.
One of the guys that I podcast with over on Funny Books is named Paul. I make fun of his mom a lot. So I started hashtag Paul's mom.
Paul wasn't
so happy about having hashtag Paul's mom out there.
Did it trend? Anybody can make a hashtag. The trending is what happened.
I was disappointed that not enough people were taking advantage of hashtag Paul's mom.
Real quick, the RPG chats, Chris, they're on Thursdays. Is there a particular time on Thursdays they occur?
2 p.m. Central and 9 p.m. Central.
Okay. So it's just they start at 2 p.m. Central and then start again at 9 p.m. Central.
That is correct. Yeah, because it's actually the person who moderates in the afternoons is actually overseas. And then somebody here in the States, I believe, moderates the 9 p.m.
version. How do you moderate Twitter?
You can't.
Well, it's moderate in the sense that, you know, they basically kick it off. They have the startup topic and then they can also switch, you know, the main topic that everybody goes and starts talking about.
So I'm going to make two observations real quick and then we're going to move on to the next announcement. The first off is that I fully believe that Twitter is a symptom of our culture.
Ebola?
Well, no. Okay. More that any idea worth communicating or consuming is ultimately reduced to 140 characters. We have created a medium that not only allows but indeed enforces a soundbite exchange of ideas and debate. The other point I was going to make is one about irony, which is people go to Twitter for these, of course, 140 character tweets, right? You know, the idea of these simple little meaningless updates about whatever's going on. But of course, you really can't say a whole lot of meaningful things in 140 characters. And so there's now this thing called Twitlonger, where basically you can go write, you know, like a full post like you would on Facebook or anywhere else and make that your tweet, which to me is kind of baffling. It's like, so why don't you just go back to Facebook?
I quit following a bunch of authors because they would do that. They would have paragraphs and it would come through tweet, tweet, tweet.
Yeah, well, that's the other one. Or you break the tweet up and like it's 15 tweets in a row.
Didn't we leave LiveJournal for a reason?
I don't know.
I was never on LiveJournal.
Yeah, I know. If I was going to pick something in the modern day that's more equivalent to LiveJournal in terms of being
a big pile of poop,
long form and moody and self-indulgent, I'd actually go with Tumblr. Anyway, second announcement is that the Fear of the Boot Blood Bowl League is starting up again. And the note we got here from, I don't know, Chad didn't quote the user, but I'll link this in the show notes.
Icoma.
Okay, Icoma, thank you. Is, okay, we've got a plan. Five coaches are planning on getting the Little Boot League going again. We would love to get some publicity on the podcast, if that's okay. Well, obviously it is. This is a league for low-value teams, so beginners are totally welcome and encouraged. We're going to give about 4 weeks for new coaches to find their way to the sub forum. We have great coaches ready to answer questions people might have about the game. We'll link this in the show notes. If you guys are interested in playing in an online Blood Bowl league, I don't know exactly which edition of Blood Bowl you're using because there's a couple of them out
I think
there.
They're all kind of integrated anyway.
I don't know. Is
It's my work phone. I should answer it. That's the second call. First one I'll ignore.
That's awesome. Never had this with phones before.
You know, in all the years we've been doing this, I don't think we've had these sort of everybody's going off.
Yeah. No. I forgot to turn the sound off on mine, so I turned it off.
Yeah.
So I don't know which version of Blood Bowl they're using. I know there's a couple of versions out there. I don't know if they're integrated or not, but I'll link this in the sub forum. If you're interested in playing the online PC version of Blood Bowl, these are a great bunch of people.
They've ran many successful Blood Bowl leagues.
Yeah.
I don't know what number they're up to. Five, seven seasons? I mean, they are in multiple seasons that they've run in. They kind of took a little bit of a hiatus because they had a run of a whole bunch of really fun and successful seasons right in a row. And then so they kind of gave it a rest, and now there's interest in again, and they're bringing it back. And they want more people involved, and so that's why we're plugging it on the show for them.
First topic for today is one that came to my mind in a somewhat random fashion today, because I was thinking about the fact that we are approaching the holiday season. Which,
game killer time.
Yeah, and amongst our listeners, that seems to be somewhat of a split issue, because some people are like us, where late November through about early January is just this black hole from which no game emerges. Whereas other people say it really doesn't affect them. And some people say, well, my friends come in from out of town, and this is when we do our most gaming. Yeah. So, you know, your mileage may vary, but that's not what I want to talk about specifically. So what I got to thinking about was ways that you might survive that interim, which is something we've talked about before. And then I came up with a specific thought that I want to throw out to you guys. In TV shows, I can think of several examples where they do episodes of the TV show that use the same characters, the same setting, the same basic premise of what's going on. But the audience understands that these episodes do not occur in continuity. These are what if kind of things. They're just having fun with the intellectual property.
Moonlighting had the Taming of the Shrew episode. Entire hour-long Shakespeare right in the middle of their quirky comedy show.
Simpsons does this almost every year with Treehouse of Horrors, where it's typically three little shorts that have no continuity with the rest of the show. House did this, I think, in its first or second season. They had an April Fool's episode that I believe was out of continuity with the entire rest of the show, where the big joke was the diagnosis was lupus. Another one I could kind of think of, it's not quite like this, but it was sort of tongue-in-cheek, fourth wall breaking, was the Mass Effect 3 DLC Citadel. Now, some of that was clearly in continuity, and I think probably all of it was in continuity. But there was also some stuff that really had no bearing on the main flow of the game, where they were making fun of themselves and picking on the little ruts they'd gotten into throughout the course of making the game. And they had a lot of fun doing it. All right, so here's my point. Right now for Sojourn 2, which should be out within the next month or two or three, the story that I'm writing is Gnarl Says Christmas, which is a intentionally cheesy poem, like written in the style of A Night Before Christmas, about Gnarl saving Christmas in the way that Gnarl would, which is, of course, horribly and bloodily. But imagine if that was done at a game level. Okay, so you're entering into the holidays. You can put your big stories on pause. You could reach the end of a chapter.
Gnarl, put it on pause.
Yeah. You could take some notes. We've talked in the past about things you can do to shut down a game for a hiatus. And maybe we'll cover those again someday, but whatever. For now, it's recent enough in the past. I don't think we need to do that. But how do you guys feel
excellent
about keeping games alive or keeping interest in the characters or at least keeping your gaming fun going during the holidays with games that are intentionally out of continuity? Like, let's say you do a Christmas game and you know damn well this is not part of the main campaign plot. It's just kind of you're having fun with the characters and poking fun at yourself or whatever, and you go on a side quest to save Santa or whatever. Insert your holiday.
Yeah, you're playing like totally serious, uber dark, cyberpunk dystopian future with these broody characters, and there's all kind of like player versus player intra-party intrigue in this hugely layered, deep, serious plot, and you do a Christmas episode where you have to save Santa. You know, it's like it totally doesn't fit and it's not in continuity. I can't say it's wrong. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, that is going to screw everything up. You know, you're going to throw yourself out of the immersion and the characters will never be the same and the plot is ruined. I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say that's not my thing. It just isn't for me. I can't really say why, though, because it wouldn't break immersion.
I think it might have a lot to do with the stuff that you just said. I think that while on the surface, you know, it sounds like it would be kind of fun to do and you probably would have a good time doing it, I think that a lot of that stuff that would happen in that episode would kind of stick around afterwards once you got back into the serious stuff. And it might, in a long-term sense, break some of that immersion. Now, I say that having actually done what you've talked about, Dan, within a campaign once, and it did work. And we, you know, stuff that happened during the quote-unquote holiday episodes actually did have some far-reaching effects to the overall campaign. So it was kind of a little bit of a split of what you're talking about. But I'm kind of in the same boat as you are on that one, Chad. I think it's a fun idea to try, but a lot of it comes down to how the group manages it after the fact.
For me, it's not about, you know, how the group manages that. I hear what you're saying, and I don't really see that as a problem. But I think from my perspective, it's that when I make a character, I kind of craft it for the game. The game master and the other players are creating this world, and we're all creating this world together, and we're creating this tone of a game, and we're creating a kind of a game, and we're creating the pace and everything. And I really like my characters to integrate into that and then to affect the feel. And if we're making a really dark game, I like to make a really dark character to kind of go with that flow. And then when you invert that, because that's really the whole point. It's not about like Christmas or Hanukkah or Halloween.
It doesn't even have to be a holiday.
Yeah,
game.
It's just taking what you have and you're inverting it for comedic or fun reasons. My character isn't inverting along with it. That's how it works in my head. It's not that, oh, well, I'm not going to change. I got to be true to the method acting of my character or anything stupid like that. But it's just like what I would rather do is I would rather play the holiday theme game. Like if Wayne were here, he would tell you about how he runs for Christmas Secret Lives of Gingerbread Men and how we had a blast with it. The game that we were playing at the time was not dark, but the Secret Lives of Gingerbread Men was dark. So that was our inversion. And I made a character for that. I had a ton of fun. And if I played a gingerbread version of the character that I was playing, which is my troll Ward, a gingerbread version of that just doesn't interest me. But the character that I made for it does. It fit. It worked. It worked with the inversion. It was on the level.
One example I can think of having been in a group that did this was going way back in our gaming career. There was a game master that had a homebrew sci-fi setting. And what he would do every so often is he would have, I think they had a name for it. I don't remember what it was. Basically, they were like arena episodes.
You mentioned this in the notes beforehand, and I don't remember any of that.
Yeah, I can tell you it was a thing. But
did we do it often?
No, it was only done a handful of times. But what they would do is they would basically take all the characters, and none of this occurred in continuity of the game, and they would start off in this maze, and nobody knew the layout of the maze but the game master, and he would drop them each in a different room and just describe to them their room and their setting. And as they went around, they might find things that would help them or hinder them or traps or whatever. And eventually they would encounter each other. And the point of this was be the last character alive in there. And it was just a fun little side distraction. It was not meant to play.
I don't remember this at all.
Right. Well, fair enough. Yeah. But the reason that I think this can work.
Did we enjoy it?
You know, I don't remember that. Well, and also that group did have something else going on. And I don't think the arena games caused this. I think, if anything, they may have been symptomatic of it, was there was a lot of party and fighting and penis waving. Just a lot of things that really were kind of...
Not the fun kind of party and fighting and penis waving.
No.
Not the kind that when you used to game back in college.
Yeah.
It was... Yes, we know.
It was the type like, you know... This was science fiction, not D&D, but it was the type of game where you don't go to sleep without first casting Wyvern Watch and Alarm and summoning a monster to watch you. And you don't go to sleep anyway because you know the moment you do, somebody else in the party is going to kill you and take your stuff, or at least take your stuff, or Jesus at least kill Christ. You. Yeah, it was messed up. Anyway, so boy Bean, though.
Don't worry, we came in and we changed it.
Actually, we did.
Literally.
Yeah. And they kind of changed us as well. We weren't doing much with character.
Right.
But anyway.
And they were.
The point being, one of the things I think that this can help with, let's say for a moment, let's go back to that D&D game we always talk about, Gnarl, Saren, Sir William. Mm-hmm. And let's say we had done a Christmas episode out of continuity. I don't really know, in my mind, at least to me, it would have felt any different than doing the side episodes where we're putting on musicals or putting on plays. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, those were in the continuity of the game, yeah. but nonetheless, the point was still the same in that it was a moment to kind of unpucker. It's a moment to kind of step back. Yeah. And here's where I think it has a metagame value is one of the things that I really have kind of observed about some of the groups I've been involved in is that sometimes in my mind, expectations run too high, which leads to game failure. I mean, this could probably be a show unto itself is dealing with expectations, but expectations run high, which can lead to disappointment in the game. People take the game too seriously, which can lead to some amount of, you know, bickering or silliness or whatever. And I think one of the things that damn near every group I've been in, not all of them, but most groups I've been in within the past, I mean, probably 20 years, seriously need to unpucker a little bit. And I think, in a sense, I mean, I'm not discounting what you're saying, Chad. I'm not saying you're wrong, because, I mean, this is obviously a personal perspective.
Right.
But I think for a moment to take these same characters and to self-deprecate their absurdities.
Oh, absolutely.
I think could kind of give us some healthy perspective on, you know, we don't really need to take this so seriously. Going back to Mass Effect 3, for anyone who played the Citadel DLC, you know, there was several memorable moments in there where even though it was still in continuity, the characters started making fun of themselves, and the game writers were making fun of their own repetitious dialogue options and things like that. And you could tell it was really this step back and the game stopped taking itself so seriously. Mm-hmm. And you kind of laughed along with it. But then when that was over, you still were very organically put back into the action leading up to an extremely disappointing ending. But that part really wasn't related to the Citadel.
Video games have such a hard time ending. There are so many great games out there with just very disappointing endings.
I think everything does. I think video games, television shows
just get canceled.
Book series, even they just have a hard time ending. I love the idea of an out of continuity game because I think it allows you to do some of the things like that that you've sort of mentioned around here. For one, like for me, we did this on occasion. We never did a full blown. This is just taken completely out of continuity, so you can do, you know, whatever happens here is not going to affect the main storyline. Which I wish we had. That would be fun. I think it can allow you to do things with your character that you don't normally do. Like what Chad, you mentioned that, you know, you make a character that for the game that's you know, it's dark and it's always dark and brooding.
If the game is dark.
But the thing about that is that no character is just two-dimensional. I mean, yes, you're dark and brooding.
All because mine are.
Okay. Thank you for admitting it, finally. So you've got, I mean, if you've got it, you've got to find that way for the game, then that's great. But people are people. We have a full range of emotions. And you get into that sort of rut or whatever where you're just that way because of the game. I think it would be refreshing to sort of to do something that's out of the norm for a character. Like for me, it's like if I'm playing a certain character, like, well, for instance, my longstanding character that I started was like was a paladin. So I was very much dictated with this is how I have to act. This is how I have to be. If I don't, I get in trouble kind of a thing. If we could do like an out of continuity story just for fun, I would have explored some things that I wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. Right. You know, now, I mean, I wouldn't go raping and murdering.
But perhaps
come up with a bad guy, and I'm like, I just kill him and don't worry about the consequences, as opposed to, well, I've got to take him to jail and due process and trial, you know, that kind of a thing. We would do a lot of things just that were sort of sidebars from the main campaign, the big, heavy, emotional, intense story that we were going against. We would just have sort of sidebar adventures that were just kind of off the beaten path. They were kind of goofy a little bit, sort of like what we're talking about here. It was in continuity, but it was a break for us. And that allowed us to like have fun with our characters and explore some other things, like have a sense of humor. You know, we just came back from this horrible thing where we lost one of our party members. You know, they died horrible. That was like a big emotional thing. And then we could take a break and we could have a lighthearted adventure, which is kind of like what this is to me.
Kill the party's
zombie. It sort of helped us reset a little bit. It sort of get over that. You know, it was sort of cathartic, that kind of a thing. I like that.
It's one thing. Like for something like that, the party member just died. You could do a flashback to when you first met the character.
Something like that. You know, so
but if it's out of continuity, I'd have a hard time taking it seriously, and things would just go crazy, off the wall.
Yeah, but so what?
Well, I think that's a good thing.
It's out of continuity. I mean, it's
and
like,
that's so a good thing. Does. You know, it lets you sort of cut loose.
Then I would struggle
with some steam.
Did I do that in an in continuity game or an out of continuity game? And I would like the idea of just playing different characters if it's out of continuity.
Wayne, high five.
See, you can always do that. I mean, that's like
that's called a different game.
Chad mentioned like doing the holiday game, doing the Secret Lives of Gingerbread Men, which is great. I love that. It's fantastic. But that's a different game.
Yeah.
I mean, the point, what we're talking about here is specifically playing a game with existing characters that's out of continuity. I mean, if you just say, well, let's just play another game, then that's totally not the point of what we're trying to talk about.
You know
what
we've done, too? So let's take our Dresden game as an example. What we've done is we have this Dresden game. I'm not going to say it's dark and serious because it's not. There's darkness in it. There's seriousness in it. But there's also comedy in it. And
good mix.
There's a really good mix, good balance of stuff. But we have a side game,
Inspectors,
that takes place in the universe. And we have a rule with Inspectors. We have different characters. It is a comedy game, and our characters will never meet our other characters.
Yeah.
They'll never run into each other. But it's in continuity.
Right.
The things that happen. Now, even though we are playing a totally wacky, very silly comedy game with Inspectors, and the Dresden game, while it has comedy, it isn't that. It is the same world, and it's in continuity. And we've had things
with the exception of Mecha Lincoln is not.
Well, okay, yeah. So we did have a bit of a crack episode there. Although I think it should be. That's just me. Things that have happened in it have had repercussions in the main game. We've gone places and discovered things, and that has provided, I wouldn't say major plot hooks, but it provided location, flavor, color to the game. It expanded the game's universe all the while having fun with it. We're doing all the things you're talking about. We're doing all the things, you know, letting loose, being crazy, you know, doing things that we wouldn't normally be able to. But instead of doing it with characters, we're doing it with the world we made.
See, I can see a lot of reason why some people would really want to do something like this, but it doesn't appeal to me personally.
Right.
Yeah, that's where I was.
And that's kind of my thing is we're building a world together. We're building the character stories together. I don't want to tell a story with that character that's not part of the bigger world because I want it all to tie in together.
Well, then
and
I
that's
think
just a personal preference
I
for
think,
me.
And I get you on that. And I think then maybe what you should do or what an idea that people should play with as an offshoot of this, instead of it not being in continuity, do like what I was sort of talking about a few minutes ago, where you have just some sort of light mini adventures that you go on. Because I think this is what I've noticed playing with you guys up here, is that you have the sense of a story arc. You are on that arc, and when that arc is finished, the campaign's over. Boom. First of all, which has always been foreign to me because that's not the way I did it. Within that arc, it's like, it's serious, man. This is the arc of the game, and there is no room for going off and having silly side fun kind of weirdness. I say that's bollocks. Bollocks, I say.
I don't necessarily
put some of that in there. You know
that either.
Shut up, Chris. I'm talking. I don't talk. I'm on a roll.
I want to back you up, brother.
Okay, well, that's fine. But, you know, you can still have the seriousness, and you can still have that overall, that very serious arc. But I don't think that there's anything wrong with every once in a while having a lighthearted game. You know, you just a side adventure that one or two sessions or whatever, where you do something that's just off the wall or whatever and allows you to sort of blow off some steam or whatever and do something a little bit different and then get right back into the main story arc. Because we did that all the time. And that way it's still in continuity. Anything that you do in those has repercussions. I mean, so, you know, if you have to have that in mind, but it's a little different.
What I'm curious about is how do you approach that?
Well, we'll let Chris talk.
Okay, Chris.
Just for sake of karma.
You have 30 seconds. Go.
Yes.
You have 30 seconds for rebuttal. No, to back Pat up, and I'm going to argue against myself earlier, that's exactly what we did back a number of years ago.
20 seconds.
I was running a campaign, and it was a serious campaign. It was dark, and it was at times very terrifying and everything. But once a year,
10 seconds,
and it just happened to be right around Christmas time. That's exactly what he would do. He kept continuity, but the thing that he would do to let us blow off steam was almost just completely ridiculous in the sense of the campaign. But he played that particular aspect of it serious in a comical way, I guess if you could say. And everything that happened in there, because it was campaign affecting, the stuff that would go on in there, had long lasting impacts, and we dealt with that over the course of the, you know, the following year as that campaign kind of continued on. He did that every time that came around, every time that Christmas came around, he brought that up again. It did exactly that. It allowed us to blow off that steam, allowed us to kind of maybe even change a couple of things, and then we were right back into the serious as soon as that was done. The character who showed up, by the way, was Satan Claus. That was the guy's name.
There you go.
So, Pat, I'm curious how you would, how do you even approach this? Because, like, when I look at our games, I present the opportunities for side missions, but typically the party knows what's going on. They have their goals they want to do, and they're pushing towards that. And I'm the type of person, I let the group lead their own direction. Yeah. So do you have to set this up ahead of time and say, hey, we're going to do a side mission next time?
And that's going to depend on the game master. Every game master is different. Like I said, I agree with yours. And I don't know the exact answer for you for what you would do. But some game masters are more, I'd say, linear than others, potentially. So it might go that way. But it depends on the universe that you're in, the setting that you're in. Like in a fantasy setting, you would approach it differently than you would say do it in a science fiction setting. For example, in our BattleTech game, where we were sort of taking missions, almost like we were a mercenary company, what you could do is you're in between contracts, and the contracts that we have or that you present to us, you just plan for whichever one we take.
I did actually do something similar to that in a BattleTech game some years back, where we took a side thing where they were between contracts and we set something up and we kind of said, you know, look, this really, it's just kind of a fun little what if. And what I did was I put them all in Solaris 7. For those not familiar with BattleTech, Solaris 7 in the continuity of BattleTech is supposed to have been a weapons testing ground for an old unified galactic government. And basically that testing ground turned into sort of a martial Olympics, which still survives into the current timeline as an arena world, basically. And so I let them actually use the rules that were provided with the Solaris 7 box set to create.
Awful.
The combat rules are awful. The out-of-combat rules are actually pretty good for the stables and co-ops and such. Sure. And I don't remember what they set up or how exactly it worked, but I put them on the Solaris 7 tiers and let them kind of play up through those.
Did you have them do WWE-style interviews?
No, I did have like walk-ons and things like that. So, no, I mean, there was some silliness with it. But, I mean, that's kind of the thing that I'm getting at, though, is, and I don't think this is true of every group, but it just seems like, I mean, when you look at the reasons why, you know, groups bicker and all this kind of stuff, it's at some point we lose sight of the fact that it's a game. And I think that it's healthy, especially when you know you're going to have some kind of a large disturbance, such as the holiday season to your regular game schedule. If you can look at that and say, okay, a parody, yes, it's inverting what the game's about. No, it's not part of the continuity, but it does still keep those ideas fresh in your mind, because to parody something, you have to remember the real thing being parodied. Parody doesn't make any sense if you don't know the real thing it's referring to. And so you have this chance just to kind of unpucker, make fun of yourself, make fun of the other players. Yeah. No one's going to take it too seriously. And it's a lot better than the game simply going into hiatus and possibly never recovering thereafter.
Yeah. Wayne, I've just been thinking about sort of an example for you and for our Dresden game. A perfect example to me would be like in the Halloween season for our game, you could plan something like a small little thing that's, you know, self-encapsulated, like around the Limp Mansion. And what happens is it's Halloween.
Limp Mansion is a local St. Louis haunted house.
It's right. Very, you know, it's a brewery, the Limp family brewery and mansion. So, you know, you could have something that happens there and we, you know, it just, you sort of throw that out in game and it's still in the middle of what we're all doing. You know, it's just, but we go there and we could have sort of a small mini side adventure there. And you, yes, you would plan it. You would, you know, it's like, okay, I've planned what I want to do in this session. I just have to get them to go to the Limp Mansion, which is not terribly hard for our group. We like that kind of thing. So something like that, you would want to plan it a little bit, but you don't have to ram it down our throats, you know, so to speak. Just have it out there and hopefully we catch the hooks or whatever for it.
A lot of this can be player driven too. I think that some of it can be, you know, the game master planning an event, and that's fine. You know, this game session or this couple of game sessions, we're doing the Christmas episode or whatever. But I think a lot of it can be player driven. We do a lot of player driven stuff. I remember we did Cinco de Mayo. We took over an entire gaming session where we took over a White Castle and we celebrated Cinco de Mayo in it.
I remember in the, I want to say it was the last Epoch of Rhysos game we were in, you ended up doing a, it wasn't cage fighting because it was fighting a creature to eat, but you set that up. And that became half the game session was getting Pat's character to take off his shirt and go out there and wrestle.
There was the lizards. There was the BattleTech game where my character, who he was a fatalist and he saw no future for himself and he was looking for an exit strategy, we'll say. Everybody earned all this money doing the mercenary thing and they were spending it on mechs or saving it or putting in their 401ks. And this guy was like, that. And so he created a giant party. Celebrate life now because tomorrow we're going to die was his attitude. And this party, it was so cool when it's player driven. I say it's cool because it was my idea, but really though, it was cool because
it really sucked.
it was really cool because it was out of band. It wasn't part of the story. It wasn't part of the plot. It was something that was very fun. It got the characters out of their mechs and out of talking about war and fighting and into something more personable. It allowed Dan to do the same thing with the NPCs and to let them blow off steam. And Dan was able to integrate the story into
it. There were elements of the plot in there because I remember at least one person who's kind of riding the line between adversary and ally showed up there. There's another person who wanted to be your ally who showed up there. But yeah, there were elements of the plot. There were NPCs, major NPCs that figured into that and kind of had their own angle to it without disrupting it.
And there was
without coming in and shooting the place up.
We played a Skies of Glass game, which I loved that we were
mercenaries.
We were young kids
that wanted to be mercenaries.
And we were like, you know, teenagers on the cusp of adulthood. And we had made a decision to be mercenaries, which is a really terrible life decision.
Yeah.
And but we were in our hometown. And of course, our hometown is like, what are you kids doing? You need to get out on the farm. And so what we did is our hideout, we had turned it into our mercenary office. And then we decided to have a party to invite the entire town in. It is sort of our coming out party of saying, hey, we're doing this and you kind of need to accept it.
I think it is a given that with this group, if there's a mercenary group, there's going to be a party.
There should be, because it's a really terrible lifestyle.
Well, let me give you another example. This is one that comes from TV, but because of the fact that there are multiple role-playing games based on the IP, could very easily occur within a role-playing game session. Next Generation did this. I am sure Deep Space Nine and Voyager did it as well. The holodeck episodes. Let's be honest. I mean, okay, while those were technically in continuity, they were effectively excuses.
Original Trek had a holodeck, too. Star Trek, the animated series, is in canon.
It took place in the original.
So there is a holodeck on the original Enterprise. Okay. That's where they got the idea from.
But the idea here being that, of course, even though you come into some kind of excuse for this to be in continuity, because, somebody screwed up the computer or an alien possessed it or whatever excuse they came up with. I mean, you're still playing Robin Hood or playing Old West or whatever. I mean, these were things that were, what if Worf was an Old West sheriff? They had that episode, and
he's certainly not a merry man.
And they had that episode.
Yes.
And, this allowed them to do things that were just wildly out of what you would expect from the norm of an exploratory science fiction mystery sort of show.
And I prefer that to the Dream episode because the Dream episode pisses me off.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you guys never
watched the Dream episode, right?
I was going to say, you guys never watched St. Elsewhere. You don't
know
what a Dream episode
is. Don't go
there.
That's not a Dream episode. That's a Dream show.
Was it St. Elsewhere or Twin Peaks? I always get those shows.
St. Elsewhere.
Twin Peaks is another.
One of the Bob Newhart shows.
Okay, that show's mixed up.
Yeah, the second Bob Newhart show.
Oh, the second one. Yeah, second one, it ended with a dream, wasn't it?
The whole show was a dream.
The whole thing was a dream, yeah. Oh, God, it's so
It's horrible.
They had the fake Breaking Bad ending as well.
Like I said,
that was
Chris is still talking. I swear. But yeah, dream episode. But no, I like that because that goes along. Again, you're going along in the vein of sort of what I'm talking about. It is taking your characters and you're allowing them to do something they just don't normally do. In sci-fi, it's easier with the holodecks. It's like, you know, you're playing Robin Hood. You know, Picard is bald Robin Hood. Yeah, that's not going to really happen, but it's something, it's wildly different than what he's used to doing.
And my assertion is I completely agree with you. Why do you have to wait for the Game Master's lead for that?
Oh, you don't. I have always tried to have my characters some sort of like a side project or hobbies or whatever.
Our two characters in our Dresden game, we have our smoke lodge.
Oh,
which started as a joke about how Pat's character and my character, when everybody gets real serious, our characters go out behind his house to a shed and smoke weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, smoke lodge, not to be confused with the Native American.
No. That's exactly what it is.
That's what it turned into.
I have a smoke lodge in my backyard.
His character has a Native American background to it.
I go out in the smoke lodge and commune with the 12 grandfathers.
And my character has sort of, and it was never a spoken thing, has sort of, I wouldn't say had a religious conversion because he's a nihilist, but has had a sort of leaning to that sort of way. And then through the games, we have taken this joke. I mean, that's literally what it was, just ha ha ha. You guys
had some peyote. It was from Coyote.
Yeah, Coyote had some peyote. And so, because he's a shister.
Yeah.
And sampled the delights of the peyote because everyone was being super serious. But it was this joke. And then as the game has progressed, we have actually turned it into a thing that is integral
to our
character. It's integrated into our character. We've expanded it. It's not funny anymore, as in it's not a joke. We've turned it serious. We've taken it spiritual. Yeah. It's like moving over into the spirit plane and stuff. You know,
I do remember for the brief time that I was in that campaign, the dragon I was playing paid off Ward for something with drugs that had been ditched into the Mississippi River. So it was basically like garbage bag wrap. So it wasn't like waterlogged, but basically it was like a kilo of weed.
Because he goes out, because Ward is cursed. He can only accept things that come from the bridge or the river.
Yeah, and so she gave you this big fat stack of weed.
That basically somebody tossed it, was getting chased by the cops, and
tossed it over
the
Eads Bridge or whatever, and she pulled it out of the river and gave you
the... Ward's like,
but no, I am fully on board, and I implore...
If only she could pull some Count Chocula out of the river.
I know, right? That's the curse right there.
But no, I implore all players to try to have side ventures like this, to have a hobby, have something that your character does. It's not just grimdark all the time.
Right.
You know, you are a nuanced character. You should be. You have all range of emotions and all range of wants and desires. You're not just Batman that wants to avenge
bring
his kill.
Bring another character into
parents.
It so you're not just co-opting an
entire absolutely.
Session.
Yeah, you know, have some fun with it.
Oh, That's another thing that you don't want to do, too, is in the Epoch of Rysos game that we played, I played this mad scientist sort of technological guy. Yeah. And he followed all those things that you're saying. He had hobbies. He had interest. He had a lot of projects because I'd played Epoch of Rysos before, unlike you guys hadn't. Yeah. And so I knew what was in store. Long travel time. And so part of the game that's kind of unspoken is that you make a character that has projects and things to do. It's like, you know, giving a kid a coloring book on a long trip. You do it so they have something to do. Mm. And so I built that into my character. And the other guys, while he had deep, great characters, didn't build that in because they didn't know.
Yeah.
And then so what happened is exactly what Wayne was describing of when you do stuff like that, add in the other players. Get the other players involved. Don't let the game master or don't wait for the game master to try and shove it in. Don't expect other players to become involved in your shit because they won't. They won't care. You've got to grab them and get involved in it because that's what I did in the Epoch of Rysos one. It was me. It's all about me. You know, it was my projects and my thing.
Right down to locking us out of the room so you could work on it by yourself.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Well, and
so you guys kept trying to stop me.
Well, and let me say, if you're doing this in continuity or even doing it out of continuity with all players present, no matter who instigates it, the game master, the players, whatever. Chad, that is absolutely a wonderful piece of advice. And be sure that everyone is involved, because nobody wants to be on the bench.
Right.
You know, I said in the tweets I made right before doing this that I had a pretty good idea that the first topic was going to take up this show, even though we actually had two lined up. Looks like I was right. So I want to close this one out, but in closing it out, Wayne, I'm going to give you the last word with a question about something that is related and yet unrelated all at once.
Okay.
In general, okay, so let's put aside the, well, it depends on the specific thing.
Okay.
In general, how do you feel about the what if sort of storylines in comics, which is another great parallel to this?
Spider-Ham is awesome.
I love them. I love the taking characters, and basically it takes off all of the chains. You know that, let's say Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know Spider-Man is not going to die permanently in, you know, in a storyline, but you put in a what if story. He can die on the first page, and now you see the repercussions for the rest of it.
Right.
And you see these things that would never happen in the regular book. And sometimes it's just seeing a character, how they would have grown if something different happened. And I love that.
You know, in fact, off the top of my head, a few of the best reviewed comic books I can think of out there, comic book series, I guess, out there, graphic novels, whatever, at least two of them were what ifs that were not intended to be part of continuity.
The Killing Joke.
Did not think of Killing Joke. The two that I thought of, one was Watchmen, which before they made him change the characters, originally that was all established DC characters before they made Alan Moore change the characters. Rorschach was a question, so on and so forth. The other one is Kingdom Come, because I believe Kingdom Come, if I'm not mistaken, was intended to be a complete self-contained story that was not supposed to reflect upon the DC universe as a whole.
Yep, and then they eventually started adding elements of it in.
Yeah, well, comic books are constantly...
Yeah, same thing with Killing Joke. Killing Joke was supposed to be a standalone one story with Joker, and they ended up taking, you know, the events that happened and working it in. Just ignoring the... I don't want to give the spoiler away if anyone's ever read
it. Oh, good Lord. Come on.
How long is it? 20 years ago. Oh, my goodness gracious. That was, what, back in 89?
Yeah, that's easily 20, if not more than 20 years ago.
Well, if anyone wants to know, they can look it up on Wikipedia.
You know, I'm sure that there were people who were born when it came out and haven't read it yet.
There are listeners. Yeah. We have listeners that weren't born when it came out. They were born after.
I know.
But anyway, so to me, that begs the question of this, Wayne. You love that kind of story in comics as a consumer and a reader. But you wouldn't want to do that in a game. What's the difference there? Because, see, I actually would, doing a full not in continuity game, I would love that because my character could die. I don't like for my characters to die. I've established that on here time and time again. But in a non-continuity game, I would play balls to the wall. And if my character died in the first hour of play, I'd be okay with
let me add in something else on that doesn't draw from comic books, which is we've talked about the fact that con games can go places that a regular campaign doesn't, because the expectations are different from the outset, that this is just a one-shot throwaway, have fun in ways you normally wouldn't do.
It's harder to get a serious game out of it because of that sometimes. Because
so is really the issue that you think once you did it, you would have trouble seeing it in a serious light again?
So my issue, that is part of it.
It's too close to you, something you're intimately involved in.
Pat really hit it on, it is the character. Reading as a comic book character, those aren't my characters. I've read them. I like them. I enjoy them.
Yeah.
I didn't create them. They're not something that I'm role playing. And that's where the difference comes into me is this is a character I'm role playing. I'm trying to get inside of its mind, see what it does. I don't want to see that. I don't want to do an alternate reality version of that and then come back because...
And I get you. I understand that you don't, but I don't know why, because that would appeal to me. And it's like, because you don't have a problem doing it with a character that's not yours. Like you enjoy it. In fact, to see this alternate version of it. It's like, you don't think, oh, I'm going to be confused about what happened in that alternate universe as opposed to what's going on in the canon storyline.
Because I'm not
I don't see that character. Well, I know, but I don't understand the disconnect there to be able to do that with your own character.
I can accept it because whether it's
I'm not bashing you for it. I'm just saying that I think I could, and
whether it's my view or not, it is internally consistent, and so I can follow it. But anyway, I think that's where we're going to wrap this one up.
But I have more things to say.
Oh my God. Chabarka, keep rolling.
I don't need a lie detector. So, as always, check the show notes. We'll have links out there to the RPG chat thing, which is really just a hashtag search on Twitter. So, I don't know if that's necessary, but we'll have links to the Blood
hashtag
Bowl League.
Hot Dish Thursday.
Hot Dish Thursday.
We'll have a Hot Dish Thursday. Anyways, thank you for tuning in. We've got another topic all ready to go for next week, so we will catch you then.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2014. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.